A good hit meant careful planning. Every hitman worth a damn knew that much. In Lockwood's previous life, he'd been meticulous about the details. That was what made the difference, in the end. Being sloppy was always the tell of an amateur, and he'd never been that. Lockwood was a professional. He'd never killed anyone for free. And he hadn't killed anyone at all in almost 15 years. That would change tonight. He'd been following his target for 2 days. His mark was a pretty big deal in certain circles. There was no way this would go down and not bring a lot of heat and attention to the incident. It would happen fast, too. Something Lockwood would have to consider in his exit strategy. That's what made this more complicated than anything he'd done in the past. He'd never killed anyone with any sort of fame or notoriety. Most of the people he'd killed would never be missed. They were rotten people who had done terrible things. He'd never killed someone who was tethered to as much power as this asshole was. The guy was the son of one of the most powerful men in one of the most powerful families in Hollywood, the McCoy dynasty, a family considered the Kennedys of the West Coast. Back in Lockwood's assassin days, it had just been paramilitary, clandestine operative stuff, nothing like this. The people who died by his hand had all been killed in the name of protecting something larger than any of them, including himself. It had never been personal at all. He'd never enjoyed the kill like some men did. He'd done it because it's what he was trained to do. It was what he was paid to do. That's why he was so great at what he did. There was no emotion involved. He could separate his own morality from his actions. And then, one day, he couldn't do that anymore. So he'd retired, so to speak. This hit would be different from everything he'd ever done before. But he was ready. The McCoy kid had checked into a crummy little beach motel in Panama City Beach, Florida, called the Siesta. Lockwood watched the guy be a dick to the sweet lady working the front desk, pushing her to hurry up with his keys, bitched about how he didn't have all day. He'd camped out across the street from the place, biding his time as the McCoy guy checked in. It was important to have patience when it came to these things. Things had to be done fast, but never in a state of panic. The motel rooms all had doors facing the street, something that came very much in handy for him tonight. He could see exactly where the McCoy douchebag was heading. Lockwood watched him amble like an oaf toward his room. It was on the third floor, fifth from the left. Lockwood made a note of it. After all, he'd be paying it a visit soon enough. The guy had only been in there 20 seconds, briefly enough that his door hadn't even shut behind him yet, when he was already outside again, stomping his way back down to the front office. He wasn't happy with his room, it looked like. He rushed the poor lady into handing him keys to another room. There were plenty of empty ones after all. Then he stomped back up the stairs, like a petulant child, this time to the second floor. The room was the very last one on the right. Lockwood counted the doors. It looked like it was 23rd room down, room 223 if he were to guess. He waited to see if the guy left this one. He didn't. It looked like this room would be good enough even for a McCoy. An hour later, the guy left his room again. This time it appeared he was heading out to dinner. Or to one of the many dive bars scattered down the 10 miles of Front Beach Road. McCoy had changed into seersucker shorts and had slicked back what was left of his hair, a pair of Gucci loafers on his feet, the hideous insignia so obvious that anyone could see it, even if they were hunched down in a car almost two parking lots away. For someone with so much money, the McCoy jerk sure did look cheap. Lockwood didn't care, as long as the jackass was leaving for a while. As he watched the guy's car fade away into the night, he knew it was time to make his move. The parking lot was empty as far as people went, and the woman at the front desk had gone back into her office. The lot wasn't lit for shit.